We
We
can
can
make
make
it
it
if we
if we try,
try,
just the
just the two
two
of
of
us.
us. And we still have to practice our jingle.
Yes, definitely.
Choir practice 101.
Maybe Spotify can help us with that at some point.
Speaking of which, I still have to. I've been meaning to do this for 3 days. I've created a you and I Spotify share list thingy.
Okay.
I haven't connected you to it because for whatever reason. You in yesterday's pineapple and sort of me thinking maybe you should broaden the horizons a bit. It's horrible. So I've put in a couple of songs there.
Okay.
European, yeah.
Okay.
Probably not quite your style, but
That's okay.
it'll get you started. So I promise, hold up my hand, cross my heart, and say that after our podcast, you will be given the link. And then the thinking is that you throw in some South African music. I don't want to hear the British and American and Australian stuff. Yeah, so
Okay.
you put in some of your South African music.
Okay.
I've got the other playlists. I somehow managed to connect to them.
Okay.
The Feel Good and there's another one there.
There's quite a few there.
Well, yeah, maybe I'm treading too deep on the other side. Anyway, and I will throw in some European stuff as and when it comes across my path, and I can think of something so we can do that together. And I had grand thoughts of maybe doing a Breederwide playlist, but God, that's music into the future. Anyway, and
Okay.
we have to do our jingle.
Yes.
Peeling Potatoes, Episode 9. I'm going to make you smaller. And we are sort of in this series of just the two of us. Somehow we were talking about Heritage Day in September.
Yes.
And we sort of discussed it. And what prompted this is a picture of you in the pharmacy that you worked in a few years ago. And
Yes.
you were wearing a colorful traditional skirt. And you were
Yes.
surrounded by some other people, some other employees, colleagues, who were also wearing their traditional costumes.
Yes.
And it looked beautiful. It looked really,
It's
really
very
beautiful.
colorful, colorful
Yeah,
and bright.
exactly.
Yes.
So the reason that I thought we would talk about it is a part to satisfy my own insane curiosity.
Yes.
The question is, why should anybody outside of the breeder community, so that the community, they know you, they like you, so you're talking about your identity, what makes you the way you are, etc.
Yes.
But anybody outside would say, well, why should I be interested in a national holiday in South Africa when I don't live in the country? I will probably never visit the country. I may or never eat the South African food. In fact, the country I know, it's down there at the bottom of this thing called Africa. Yeah.
Yes. A lot of people don't even know where it is. They just hear Africa and they think it's somewhere in Africa, by the
That reminds me of a story that in my previous life, I used to work at the London Hilton on Park Lane,
Yes.
one of the most expensive hotels in the UK. And it's a 28-story building, and on top they have a restaurant, which in my time was called the Roof Restaurant.
Okay.
And you cannot believe how many people would come up to the reception desk and ask, where is the Roof Restaurant?
On the
And depending on my mood, I would either politely tell them to take the lift and go up.
Go all the way up.
If I was in less frightfully good, polite, professional mood, I would direct them to a different restaurant, which was in the basement. And sometimes I would just look at them until they realized that maybe the question wasn't so intelligent after all. So it kind of worries me if people would say, "Where's South Africa?" Yeah, I think the answer is in the name. Anyway,
yes.
So heritage. So why should people be interested in heritage? Heritage Day, and I think one of the beauties of South Africa is it's a population of about 68 million people, at least
yes.
those that were counted. But amongst those 68 million people is so much diversity and so many different things.
Yes.
I don't know how many countries have that. Yeah.
Yes.
Which is why you call yourself the Rainbow Nation. Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe your stories about Heritage Day, your personal stories. Yeah.
Yes.
Will trigger something and say, well, actually, we have it as well.
Yeah. Maybe, yes.
Or we have something similar, or we do this differently. And then it becomes something to talk about and to share and to be proud of, because, you know, you may or may not will find that out, may or may not be proud of Heritage Day. It's certainly a lot of fun from what you've told me. Yeah.
Yes.
And then people say, well, actually, this is really nice. And maybe I do want to learn more about South Africa. Yeah. So
yes,
it's not just geography. It's not just anything else. It's the stories behind it. Yeah. Your personal story. Yeah.
Personal experiences.
Personal experiences. Yeah.
Yes.
And to kick this off, and then I'm probably not going to say very much, which is probably the better. to kick this off, you sent me a photograph.
Yes.
Which will people can look at on the podcast page. You sent me a photograph of you.
Yes.
Standing in the pharmacy that you were working in at the time, wearing a very, very colorful, beautiful skirt.
Yes.
And to your left and to your right were your colleagues.
Yes.
Who you then said come from different backgrounds, different nationalities, but all South African.
Yes.
Wearing their traditional skirts, clothing. And a little insignificant detail is that you are the only white person in this photograph.
Yes, wearing their traditional clothing, not my own.
On that particular day, but I think you said something to me yesterday along the lines that you, as in your national grouping in South Africa, also have certain traditional clothings. It might be more Western orientated than what they were wearing.
Yes.
But anyway, so Janita, it's all yours. We're talking about Heritage Day. We're talking it from a very personal angle, from your personal angle.
Yes.
You are one of 68 plus million people. There might be 70 million different stories, be that as it may.
Yes.
Tell us the Janita story of Heritage Day, what it means to you, how you celebrate it, how it's embedded in the bigger picture of things.
Yes.
Tell us your story. It's a simple question.
I'm just going to add a disclaimer to say that I don't know everything to the exact detail. I just know what I've learned from these people while I was working with them. So they are not really divided into different groups, but more like different tribes. So I will explain that as well.
Okay.
So we'll start with Heritage Day. So Heritage Day is on the 24th of September every year.
Mm.
And it's a public holiday in South Africa. We Most places, big businesses, corporate businesses would be closed, but then other places like the malls and those kind of places will still be open. So this public holiday is dedicated to celebrate the diversity in the country. Like you've mentioned, South Africa is also called the Rainbow Nation. Specifically because there's different ethnic groups in South Africa. So we have all of these tribes or these groups like Zulu, Xhosa, Tswana, Venda, and Sotho as well. There's the white group of people. They are called Boertjies,
Okay.
like farmer in Afrikaans. Yes. And then there's Indians, there's Chinese, there's many, many different kind of people. And a part of this, not just the different cultures, but there's also different languages, different histories, and the way that people have different traditions and celebrate things differently. So I have to say, I think about 100% of people in South Africa celebrate Christmas.
Really?
Christmas is very important for all these groups of people. Maybe not the Islamic people as much, but all the other people, definitely Christmas. Very important.
Well, I was speaking to previous clients of mine whose daughter lived in Dubai, and they would go across in December, and I mean, the malls there, Christmas was full blown, you had the whole spiel, yeah, in a
Yes.
Muslim country.
Yes. So I think they also, in a way, they also try to adjust. And also, if I go there for holiday during my Christmas, then they want to show that they actually support that, acknowledge
Acknowledge
that,
that.
support that, because they know that their Christmas and our Christmas falls into different times. I think maybe that's why that also happens. Since I've spoken to some of the Islamic students that I have, they also explained this to me. So even though they don't celebrate it, they know about it. And because Dubai is such a popular destination for a lot of people to go on holiday, I think that's why they also incorporate that.
I think we can say that as well. We are aware of Islamic holidays. I mean,
Yes,
Ramadan,
Ramadan,
we know when
Eid.
Ramadan starts, and Eid
Yes.
and the Jewish holidays for the Jewish community. And
Yes.
it's taken part of the fabric. You know about it. You say maybe the appropriate things to those people, and you just move on and accept that this is part of life. Yeah, the tapestry
Yes.
of life. Okay.
Yes. So the main reason for Heritage Day is to celebrate
The party to have fun.
party, to have fun. Yes. So it was actually first it was called King Shaka Day or Shaka Zulu Day, and then when oh, this was years ago, they kind of stopped this holiday. And when Nelson Mandela was the president, people complained about this because this was a way for them to celebrate and to remember what King Shaka actually did. So he united the Zulu clans together. So these tribes or these clans, King Shaka united them all together. And it was a way for them to celebrate this because, if you think about these ethnic groups, they have a lot of traditions and they follow these traditions like to the bone, to the last dot at the end of the sentence. Yes. And for them, this day was very, very important. But then, Nelson Mandela, who was the president at the time, he decided that it would be nice to incorporate this day again. To celebrate the different cultures and to remember these traditions and these roots. And then Heritage Day was born. Everyone was happy. They could still call it King Shaka Day or Shaka Zulu Day, whatever they decide. But then it was referred to as Heritage Day. And it started with a celebration of wearing traditional clothes. So this was not as popular years ago as it is now. I would say maybe 10 years, maybe 15 years, that this actually grew into public spaces. So maybe they would celebrate it, but celebrate it at home by wearing traditional clothes and so forth. But for the last, let's say, argument's sake, 10 years, people have been going out of their way on the 24th of September to wear their traditional clothes. They would do the makeup and the face paint and whatever they want. They would do the fancy or these big colorful dresses, long dresses. So they would actually show this more and more, and a lot of more people started doing the same. So if you don't have traditional clothes, you will wear a rugby jersey. So whether it's a club jersey or whether it's a Springbok rugby jersey, even cricket jersey or something, to show that I'm from South Africa, this is my heritage, or we are celebrating Heritage Day. So a lot of people have been moving into this tradition or into this celebration. And then one of the other things, it's also called Braai Day. So even though not everyone refers to it as Heritage Day, but Braai Day, families gather, people gather, friends to have a barbecue. Okay, so jokingly, it's called National Braai Day because everyone braais. You can smell the neighbors having a barbecue.
Well, they conversely probably smell that you guys are having a barbecue as well. Yes,
we can smell everyone's barbecues. And then for like companies, like big corporate companies, they are usually closed on this day. But something that I remembered this morning was that companies also have barbecues. So I've been thinking about the different places that I worked with, and they have actual barbecues to have a braai.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So a lot of companies on a Friday afternoon, they would have a barbecue for their employees just to say thank you or just to relax before the weekend starts. They don't do this all the time, maybe once a month. Some of them do it every week.
Company expense. So somebody would.
It depends.
Or is it like BYO, like you described a couple of months ago?
Yes.
Everybody brings their own meat and then.
No. No. So what they would do in these situations, sometimes the company would pay it, or the boss would pay it. Mm. If it's the boss's birthday, maybe he will make sure that everyone has a barbecue, a piece of meat. And then if it's a larger company, or maybe like on National Braai Day, they will just ask everyone to club in to give a little bit of money so they could buy meat and whatever, and everyone can have a barbecue.
Okay.
Yes. So even the schools and different communities have cultural events. I don't think the schools are open on that day because it's a national holiday. But the day before or the day after, depending on the time of the week, they would also let the kids wear their traditional clothes to school.
Yes. So to put the significance of this day into context, so this year it falls on a Wednesday. If I were to come to you and say, can we do this and this, I would be A, showing cultural insensitivity because you will probably be in the garden with your family dancing around your braai. That aside, you would probably say, no, it's Heritage Day or Braai Day. Leave me alone. I am not going to be available for anything. We're going to celebrate being.
I'm going to invite you to come have a barbecue with us.
Oh. Well, how can I say no?
Exactly. Yeah. Get him out of work. We're going to have, we can do work later. We'll have fun for now.
We could actually do a virtual barbecue.
Yes.
We could do that. Hook a camera. Yes. Hook a camera over your barbecue. And I could, September the 24th, get dark reasonably early here. Let's do that.
Okay.
Let's do that.
We can do a virtual barbecue.
We can do a virtual barbecue, 9,000 kilometers apart. Yes. You... we'll have to coordinate. I've got to get the right meat, and because you also said, in some context, and in all of this pre-discussion of this topic, the amazing food that these different ethnic. So let me start with some definitions, because again, I'm sort of being very PC here. you call the Zulus and all these groupings of people tribes. Now when I think of tribe I think of something North American, Indian, or something I'm going to be frightfully arrogant here, but I don't mean to be, it's just my lack of knowledge, something African but not as, shall we say, sophisticated as a European perspective. So you've got, and you mentioned the Zulus and King Shaka Day. What do we actually officially call these groupings of people? And question two in this is, do the Zulus constitute the largest of these things, whatever you're going to call them?
These things. From what I know,
here comes my disclaimer. Any Zulu person or any South African national listening, please apologize. Please accept my sincere apologies. I'm just being totally ignorant, and I want to learn. Voila.
So, from what I learned from them is like a tribe. So, even though sometimes they don't. They will refer to it as their culture or their tradition or their family. But not really, like they would say, I'm a Sotho or I'm a Xhosa or I'm Zulu, if you ask them. But sometimes they will refer to it as the tribe. So the tribe will be there for the wedding, or the tribe will be a part of this or that. And so I think it depends on. I have this image of the tribe in America.
The totem pole dancing around the fire with a hatchet.
Native Americans.
Oh, yeah,
yes. Yeah. In a way, it's similar. Because the Native Americans, if you think about them now, they also adopted to different things. They don't dance around the poles as much as they used to, in my opinion. So I think in a way it's kind of similar to those tribes, but also adapted. Also changed as obviously the world changed. So if I think about it like a formal application form for something, you have to complete it with your ethnic group. So then you have to write what ethnic group you are, but it's just divided into black, white, or Indian, for example. And then other, if you want to write other, if you want to specify more, or maybe if you are German or Italian living in South Africa. Okay. Yes. So.
All right. Okay.
That's a difficult question to answer because I don't think that there's actually an official name to call them. But from what I've learned, it would be tribe.
Okay. All right. So what I'd like you to do is sort of to from your perspective, from your tribe.
My tribe. Okay.
One thing that you, and I think the beauty of this conversation is it's actually incredibly simple, but at the same time very complex. Because you've got this country with an enormous diversity.
Yes.
And I'm going to keep politics right out of this discussion because that's a totally different ballgame.
We don't want to go there.
We do not want to go there at all. But let's look at it from a human perspective. And I feel really clumsy doing this, but I'm going to go for it. Can you tell which tribe a person comes from?
No. No, unless they are wearing their traditional clothing. If they wear their traditional clothing and if I hear them speak their language, I might be able to tell you what they are talking. But if you see their traditional clothes, that's an easy way to tell that, oh, that person is Zulu or that person is Sotho. If I think about my neighbors, for example, neighbors on the side, they are Zulu. So they actually come from KwaZulu-Natal. That's Durban side in South Africa. So South Africa is divided into 9 provinces. So we have Limpopo, Mpumalanga, there's KwaZulu-Natal, Gauteng, where I live. There's the Eastern Cape, the Western Cape, the Free State. And so these people kind of come from different parts, from different provinces. So the Zulus are mostly from KwaZulu-Natal, but there's places in the Eastern Cape that also has the Zulu people. And obviously they spread into different parts as well, into different parts of the country, but origin would be KwaZulu-Natal. So my next door neighbor, I know she's Zulu. I've spoken to her. I know she comes from KwaZulu-Natal. She also speaks Zulu to her kids. I've heard her shout at them, so I know. But then if I think about my neighbor across the street, he's also black. I don't know what he is. He speaks perfect Afrikaans. He speaks perfect English. I've never heard him shout at anyone in his language. So I can't even guess. I can't even guess to say, I think that maybe he's Zulu or I think that maybe he's Sotho. I don't know.
Okay. So let's narrow this down to you and your Zulu neighbor.
Yes.
Extend my regards to her. And if she could one day make a recording of her shouting at her children, I would love to hear it because it sounds incredibly musical to my ears. When you pronounce these names, it's like music. It's almost like a pop song or an opera or something like that.
Yes.
So someone getting angry and shouting at their kid because they have done something wrong.
Yes.
Can the kid do more, please? Because I want to hear this.
I'm sure they want to record me too.
Well, so your neighbor is Zulu family living next to you.
Yes.
They speak in their own language.
Yes.
And now we come to an interesting part. You speak Afrikaans with your family. She will speak Zulu with her family.
Yes.
She may or may not understand any Afrikaans. You understand a little bit or speak a little bit of Zulu. or maybe she speaks a lot of Afrikaans, I don't know. We'll come to that. And English is sort of the unifying, well, no, the not the unifying, the uniting language, because
yes,
it is one of what, 11 national languages?
Yes. Yes, so, we have 11 official languages in South Africa.
So in your day-to-day life, can you unpick this for us? Because I have visions of a form, an official, let's say you have to apply for a passport or a driver's license or something like that, that this application form comes yes. in 11 versions, depending which tribe. Still don't like that word. Which tribe you belong to? So
you can say cultural group.
Cultural group. That's too long. CG. How does this mixture of 11 different official languages work its way through in your everyday life?
Okay, that is easier to answer. So, okay, we have 11 official languages in South Africa. There's Zulu, there's Xhosa, there's Afrikaans and English, there's Pedi, there's Tswana, there's Sotho, there's Tonga, there's also Venda, Ndebele, and Swazi. Oh, Swati, sorry, Swati. And when we communicate with each other, me and my neighbor, we will speak in English to each other. Because she speaks Zulu and English. Maybe she can understand some of the others, like Sotho, maybe. But as for Afrikaans, I've heard them practice Afrikaans for school, like making sentences for school, doing Afrikaans homework.
Okay.
And it's a bit of a struggle. Okay,
no,
but when
no
you
comment.
No comment. So when you complete official application forms, let's say you have to renew your driver's license, or you have to renew your passport, or you have to open a bank account, or anything official, that would be in English. They give you an option to tick your home language or to write your home language, whether it's Afrikaans or Xhosa or Zulu or whichever language. They give you the option to include that, but most of the communication will be in English. Medical aids, even though you tick Afrikaans, they send it in English. All the official documentations, contracts, all of those things in English. So that everyone can understand it. Okay. So,
But your son goes yes. to an Afrikaans, if I got this right.
Yes.
He goes to an Afrikaans school.
Yes.
His lessons are all, his lessons are all in Afrikaans. And for yes. want of a better word, English will actually be a foreign language for him, even though it is one of 11 official languages, and the whole government and all the media and all the radio stations, as far as I'm learning this, it's all in English.
Yes. So in the school, Afrikaans will be the first language and English will be a second language. Okay, so he will, from next year, he will start learning English and make English sentences and read English stories. So that's where the split comes in. He understands English. He can speak English now. Maybe not perfect, but sometimes he pretends to be a teacher and he would sit in front of the camera with the headsets and, "What's your favorite teddy bear?" Or "What's your favorite color? What's your favorite food?" I actually have a video of him doing that somewhere, but and then he would take the note and he would make the notes. Mm. He would write something down.
Okay.
Even though he can't write, but he'll try. So he knows English and he knows Afrikaans, and in school he will learn Afrikaans will be the first language and English will be the second language. In other schools, it depends on the structure that they use, but they would also have, let's say, Zulu as the first language and English as the second language. And in some schools, they will have Afrikaans as well. That's also another whole different thing, but they are trying to phase out Afrikaans in some schools to make them either completely English or maybe one of the other languages, Zulu, Sotho, Xhosa. But that's politics, complications, different stories.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't want to expand on that.
No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to. At least on air. But I see the potential conflicts already on that one
yes.
on the horizon, and we're not going to go there. We have similar things here in Europe. But
yes.
Okay. So as a kid, let's go back to your own childhood. How did you, when you went through school yourself, you went to an Afrikaans school. You did your matric in Afrikaans.
Yes.
English was a foreign language or second language for you.
Yes.
Did you at any point learn any of the other languages, Zulu or, I'm not going to even attempt
not
to pronounce.
Not in school, no.
So how did you as a kid navigate this diversity, and what was Heritage Day for you as a kid? That's what did they do in school to.
So if I think back at it now, like Heritage Day wasn't when I was in school, let's say my son's age or like 7 or 8 or 9 years old, it's not something that I can really remember. It's not something that we really celebrated or something that we really did in school. Maybe some other schools, I can't remember something like that. And also, if I think about, well, as a child, I didn't care about public holidays. I was just too happy to be at home. No school today.
Exactly.
If I think about like Easter weekends, I didn't know. I know what it was. I know that it was Easter and we will have Easter eggs, but I didn't know what these days were called. Only one that like Easter and Christmas because it's kind of big. But other public holidays like Women's Day and Heritage Day and those, you don't care about the name. And as far as the celebrations go, maybe sometimes you will see someone dressed in traditional clothing. As a child, if we went to the supermarket and that you would always wonder, like, why is she wearing that? But it's beautiful. I kind of like it. Why is he wearing that? That's strange. So not really knowing about these things, not really taking it into consideration or what this is about. I think that was just the way it is. And when I was a child, it was also, I think, because apartheid ended in 1994, or like officially ended in those times, I was only 4 years old. So fast forward 3 or 4 years later, there was still some kind of division in the country. So let's say white people will live in this part of the country or this part of the town, and black people will live in that part of the town, where only recently, maybe not recently, let's say 5 years ago or 10 years ago, it started mixing. So at the moment, I have two black neighbors, which is fine. We get along with each other. We don't complain about each other or make noise to bother each other or anything like that. And in other neighborhoods as well. I was recently just scrolling through some of the housing that's available, maybe seeing for looking for a different place to rent or maybe for a place to buy. And there's a lot of houses that you can see that was kind of maybe built by a black person. They have a certain, they are very creative, very, very creative, and they have beautiful homes. Because they know how to do this at a, like a cost effective way. And they create these beautiful, beautiful houses. And you can see the difference between what the houses look like now and the difference in how they build houses. Some of the people I worked with explained this as well. They like expensive things. So they will buy like Nike shoes and let's say Guess jeans and like expensive clothes. They will eat bread for the rest of the month as long as they can have Nike shoes. And they like white shoes very much, which I have no problem with, and they know how to keep it white.
Well, I'd like to know the secret to that, you know.
Me too. So they are very, let's say, very proud of who they are, what they wear, how they take care of their things, and what they show to people outside. Thinking back to the people that I worked with, that is where I learned that. And they are very, like, respectable as well.
Two things come to mind. First of all, when you talked about the pride of appearance,
yes.
I remember I was in Paris a couple of years ago. It was a Saturday morning, and I had somehow walked into a couple of streets where the black population is dominant. And there was, yes, like one makeup salon next to the other, and each of them was heaving. I mean, it was absolutely gobsmackingly fascinating to watch,
yes,
the transformation process of a person to prepare for a Saturday night out. And this is Paris. Yes. This is not even Africa, but it's sort of,
yes.
Sub-Saharan Africa had come to this. It's off the Rue Sébastopol or Boulevard Sébastopol in the, I don't know which arrondissement, but it's near the Gare de l'Est. It's just like a totally different world. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely fascinating. So as a woman, when you go shopping, clothes shopping, would you make a conscious effort, thinking process, choosing process to buy something which reflects the ethnic diversity of South Africa, that you would go out and say, oh, I'd like to buy something that looks typically Zulu or typically something else?
No, not because I don't like it, but I don't want maybe to disrespect their culture. There are some shirts and some things that you can buy that might reflect it, might show a little bit of the different groups. But for me, it's always a thing that I don't want to disrespect them. The same if I think about an Islamic person, who wears the hijab, you don't want to do the same because you don't want to disrespect their culture or their religion even. The same with these people. So if I think back to the heritage days that I celebrated at the pharmacy, there were three in total. So the first one was I wore my jeans and I wore a khaki button shirt, and I stuck with that. And then one of the other ladies came and she gave me some of her beads. So it was bright orange beads to wear with my clothes. And I was fine with that because then I noticed that, okay, well, they want me to be a part of them or just to share their experience. Mm. And so she gave me the beads so that I fit in a little bit. But the next year, one of the ladies working with me hand sewed a bright yellow skirt for me. She took my measurements at work. She brought her measuring tape. Yes, mm-hmm. her measuring tape or tape measure, and she measured me at work, my length, my size, everything. And then she made me this beautiful skirt and a headband that goes with it. And then she told me that I just need to buy a shirt to match. I can decide which color. I didn't want to do white, so I chose one of the other colors, the blue in the skirt. So I bought the blue t-shirt. And most of them would wear different kinds of t-shirts with these skirts. So then one of the other ladies came and she went into Joburg somewhere to buy me beads that I can wear with the skirt and the t-shirt. And she also bought me some earrings. So I used to change my earrings a lot. I have a lot of different pairs of earrings, and she bought me earrings because she knows that I change them. So one day would be flowers, other days would be Christmas bells, depending on the situation. So she bought me these bead earrings as well. And I wore it. I wore it with my outfit and I felt happy. You actually feel beautiful because you have these bright clothes and they are kind of welcoming if they see this. But before the time, I did ask, her name was Ntombi. I asked her, is it okay? Are you not going to feel offended if I do this? Or is somebody else not going to feel upset or angry or something about it? And she said, no, it's fine. I can do it. So the next year I did the same, but this time I actually bought a skirt from one of the chain stores. And usually during this time of Heritage Month or Heritage Day, they sell different kind of clothes, but maybe not just in particular for a specific tribe, but they would have colorful skirts and colorful pants and shirts as well. And you are allowed to buy them. So I bought a pink and purple one with a little bit of white in it. Doesn't match anyone else's tradition or heritage. So I felt happy with that as well. But this time I bought a white t-shirt to wear with the skirt, and I did have the beads and I did have the earrings, which I just added to it. Mm. Something that I'm just thinking about, Sotho. Is it Sotho? Let me just get my bearings together, but I think it's the Sotho's. Yes. So they are famous for like wearing a blanket. So they will have a blanket over their clothes.
Like a poncho?
No, not a poncho, a blanket, okay. A real blanket.
All right.
Okay. But in a blue and white color, because they wear blue and white clothes. And usually like a circular pattern on it. So when I told them I was getting married, they had this big surprise. They invited me to breakfast. So we met early before work and we went for breakfast. And they brought a blanket, one of these blankets. And I have a picture somewhere. I will share it with you. They call it a duk.
Okay.
So they put this on my head. They put the blanket over me. And then they sang a song with me or for me.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. I just remembered that with this heavy blanket and it was so hot. So I said, how do you wear this thing all the time? Because this is something, some part of the tradition that they shared with me. Before they also bought me a gift and they paid for my breakfast and they actually made it really, really special. So that was just something that I remembered.
I mean, if you think about it, I think it's fair to say that South African history is fairly troubled.
Yes.
But it's little gestures like that,
yes,
which basically say that all the differences aside and all the politics aside, and you know, if you really want to look at it, the world is being run by a handful, two handful of very powerful people.
Yes.
It is what it is. I don't think it's necessarily good, which is why I sort of want to focus more and more on these little stories, because this is where,
yes,
this is where it really happens, and this is what is important. Yeah.
Yes.
That people from different backgrounds, you know, the love and the humanity of that,
yes,
simple gesture, that people share their customs with you.
Yes.
Get you this blanket. It's a hot, I know when you got married, so it's your
early, November. It was
November.
Summer.
Exactly. Yeah, it's the irony of it is it's four weeks before our wedding anniversary. We got married on the 28th of December, but it was a freezing cold day. But somebody, you know, comes out from the, and wants to share their humanity with you and say, okay, look,
yes,
this is our tradition. We're going to do it. We're going to make you feel special.
Yes.
We're going to celebrate your wedding and we'll take you for breakfast. We'll give you this. And it doesn't actually matter because it's so, so human. And I think that's the big takeaway from this discussion, that if we sort of focus away from the big picture politics and all the rubbish that goes on and all the conflicts that board people with too much money in their bank accounts, which they should actually distribute. Sorry, maybe that's my political persuasion coming out here, but they should actually distribute to ordinary people and say, look, you know, I'm sorry, we've screwed up. Here's our reconciliation, and not just the money, yes, but also the spirit that goes with it. But
yes,
leave that one to one side. It's so symbolic.
Yes.
And let me take you, sort of, we need to close this one. I could probably go on for hours, but let's go to October the 20th. No, sorry. Whoa, Frank, faux pas. November the 24th of this year. It's a Wednesday.
September.
Yeah, sorry. So no, I'm so caught up in this breakfast thing. I'm so excited, and it's so beautiful. It is so,
yes,
absolutely beautiful.
Yes.
So let's fast forward September the 24th, 2025. We're going to, with, you know, Mary will be in the UK, but you and I and your family and I, and we'll have this virtual barbecue.
Yes.
What are you going to have with your barbecue, your food, and assuming that your Zulu neighbors, who come from a completely different background, will also have a braai. The meat might be the same, but what else would I find on their plate, on your plate? What would be the similarities? What would be the differences?
So all of us actually make something called millipap. So it's like maize meal porridge.
Sounds good.
Yes. I'm not allowed to eat that at the moment, but that's okay.
Well, September's still a couple of months away.
Yes. So it's maize meal that we make porridge with. Did I share a picture with you some time ago?
There's so many pictures. I'd have to go back. I have to
I
stop.
can't remember.
I actually, over the weekend,
And
I have to create an archive, Janita, you know. It's getting.
you make a tomato and onion relish with that.
Okay.
So some people will have achar with that. I have no idea. I know what it tastes like. I don't like it, so I won't make it or buy it.
Okay.
So they'll have it with achar or just the tomato and onion relish. Something that's very similar would be a salad, like a garden salad, maybe a potato salad. And then we usually make a braaibroodjie. Like a toaster sandwich on the made on the fire. I don't know if they do that. I can't recall if I've ever seen that.
Okay.
But if I think about my experience in Soweto, where we also had this barbecue with it was the mealie pap, the maize meal porridge with the relish. There was achar on the side. And then it was also a potato salad and a mixed garden salad.
Okay.
So the similarities are there. Maybe taken from like from everywhere, little bits of pieces from everywhere.
Okay.
Yes.
I suppose you talked about this Soweto evening. It still sticks in my head, and you sent me a couple of pictures yesterday or the day before.
Yes.
And as if I've got about a million questions, like what are these tall tower things that look like power
They
stations?
are called, yes, it's old power stations and they are called the Soweto Towers. So
Right.
they are painted with those beautiful pictures on them.
Yeah.
And you can actually go there and bungee jump from them. Not something that I would do, but you can go bungee jumping.
I don't think that fills me with excitement either.
No.
And I wrote back, said to the unsuspecting person, it looks like, you know, you're sitting there, there's a couple, you know, a little cafe type thing, and you're sitting there with your friend, and it all looks really quite normal. And to the unsuspecting person, you would not comprehend that this might be a place you do not go to.
Yes.
That said, Heritage Day being what it is,
Yes.
I would assume that it would be safe for me to go and experience Heritage Day in Soweto because it is this national day. That is the European naive
It
person.
could, but specific places.
Okay.
Maybe the towers would be a safe place to be. You are going to get some stares and like, who are you? What are you doing here?
I'm used to, well, story of my life, so I'm
We
used to
don't know
that.
you. But I think that should be a safe place to be.
Okay. We're running out of time. I feel as though I have totally inadequately asked the wrong questions. I've only scratched the surface. There's a lot more to be unpicked and unearthed and
Yes.
discovered, but you're not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I think this has been a fascinating introduction
Yes.
in your personal experience and journey of Heritage Day. And if we do get this thing, this virtual barbecue, off the ground on the 24th of September, Frank. It would be, I think, an honor. As I've been telling you, I've sort of discovered this YouTube channel where they take pictures of, or the little films of different parts of South Africa on one given day.
Yes.
And it is absolutely fascinating,
Yes.
how different the country is, and you get sort of a bird's eye view as realistically as you can from 9,000 kilometers away.
Yes.
I've got one final question.
Yes.
You sent me the video of you and your husband going to the Springboks South Africa rugby game,
Oh, yes.
whenever that was. And you all singing the South African national anthem.
Yes.
I presume, and a lot of people, like in the United States, their hands on their hearts.
Yes.
I presume, because it was one voice like singing slightly out of tune, that you that you sang as well,
Yes.
out of pride because your team was going to play against New
New
Zealand.
Zealand, yes.
And as someone who has a very diluted sense of nationality, would you say that you are proud to be South African? And what does that actually mean to you?
I would say yes. I would definitely say yes. And I think it is maybe because I was born here, maybe I grew up here. Maybe it's easy to get along with other people in the country. You know about the different groups, you respect them, they respect you. There are a few bad apples as well.
As everywhere.
And maybe like that would be the kinds of people that make it dangerous to live in South Africa at some points, but some parts. But I would say yes, I am really proud to be South African and to be a part of this, let's say, diversity, this divide, the variety of different cultures and different things. And I do understand the part of apartheid that's still playing a big role in a lot of people's lives, and they still hammer about it all the time. But I think if you can look past that and accept that that was in the past, it's over, it's done. You need to find a way to move forward. I think that can really make a big difference. But to think about my neighbors, we all live next to each other respectfully. If they need help, I will help them. If I need help, they will help me. My neighbor, her car broke down at the side of the road maybe 3 or 4 months ago. My husband was driving past her and he stopped and asked her if everything was okay. Did she need any help? And she said, no, she's fine. She's waiting for someone to come and help her. So he waited a little bit until the people that she phoned came. And if you drive past them in the street, they will wave at you. And generally, there's a lot of friendly people in South Africa. Some people might have a bad day, but most of the time they are friendly and caring towards each other, even though there's this whole, let's say, political weight hanging around. But all in all, it's a lovely place to be.
I second that. I've never been there. You know my commitment.
Yes. We'll go to the bush.
We'll leave that one there. Don't want to go down that one at the moment. But Janita, you have been decidedly unfruitloopy this last hour. So there is a serious side to you. There is a
Yes.
deep side to you. you know, thank you for sharing that, because
it's a pleasure.
It was
Different.
eye-opening, very different.
Yes.
It was eye-opening, and I, you know, like I wrote to you, I'm still angry that it took you so long to come here. I'll never forgive you for that. But I'm going to take what I can.
Yes.
and of course, give what I can in return. Thank you
for it's a pleasure.
Brilliant conversation.
It's a pleasure.
I'm going to stop the record button now.
Okay.